Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us and direct us as we seek to follow your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We put our concerns into an order and try to make it so that they are all satisfied. So when we're hungry, we have that's on our mind. When we are paying our bills, well, we think about that. And we have the priority items that we will put in order. And when our children are out, then they're on our mind too. Well, we think about things in an order and pray about things whenever we have the things on our mind and ask God for guidance and direction. Well, there are always things that we can do and we can talk to God about and listen to God for an answer. And that's a part of the relation that we have, is we have a talking and a listening. And that's how prayer goes. So in those times of let's call it things on our mind, then those things become very important, and our prayer gets to be really more important also. But remember that prayer is for speaking and for listening. And that's the thing that we just sometimes forget, that we are also to listen. So, Lord, guide us and help us. Help us to pray in a way that we can speak correctly and accurately, and we can hear what you have to tell us, whether it's through an understanding in our mind or whether it is when we read the Bible and get an understanding of some situation, or maybe it's when we are talking to someone, maybe the pastor, maybe someone in church, maybe someone at work. All these things can be a part of God working in your life. We just always want to keep in mind that our relation with God is an eternal relation. And our destiny, of course, is always in mind because, well, we think of heaven. We sure do. Now, I like to say to read the Bible because it's full of so many good things. So do that. And pastors can be very helpful with understanding, and so can other books. It's just a wonderful thing to have your life be concerned with biblical lessons, biblical stories, biblical teachings. It's just all so very good. Well, life goes on, and what happens? We have wonderful things, and we have hardships. We have both of them, and they work together to help us to know God and understand the things that he would have us to know and understand. And that's what the Bible does too. That's what life does. So we just want to remember to be considerate and thinking about the things. And a part of that consideration, as I said, is listening. Prayer is speaking and prayer is listening. So God bless you in your walk with God. Well, there's always things that in our concerns, we think about what would happen if, and what would happen if we had a flat tire? What would happen if the electricity went out? What would happen if whatever it is? So we do things to prepare for those times of inconvenience or difficulty or real problems. And if we think about them in advance, we have a better idea of what to do when the actual serious troubles come along. So I encourage everybody to think and to do. Think, plan, and do. Yep. Well, we certainly are concerned about what's coming in the future, whether it's the future days or the future years. In the past, we look at the past because it's an indication of what our future holds. Part of it is the habits that we have, and part of it is the habits that other people have, and that those things are going to continue unless they're changed. So that's a part of what we do, is we try to understand the patterns so that we can examine what the future is about. We seek those general truths. And that's something the Bible is also about. It has general truths and specific truths in it. And we can learn and learn and learn. I am so grateful to people for the things that people have shown me and talked to me about. It's a lot of caring people in the world. And we can never forget how good things are. There are wonderful things and wonderful people. And sometimes we're too busy to understand that, too busy to recognize the kindness that somebody is showing us. So that's another thing we can just kind of ponder and hope that things are going to be on a good track and figure what you can do to keep them on a good and positive and godly track. Well, we ponder a lot. We look at things a lot, we study things a lot, and that is what life is about. And then we're glad when we have the wonderful, beautiful results. And sometimes we are glad for the lessons that something that is not so good shows us. So, yes, Lord, let us give the understanding of your words to our life, Lord. Well, pondering. I think it's a good thing to do. It's not daydreaming. Daydreaming is different. And sometimes that's good, too. Just keep it in the proper perspective. Surely we look at what is coming. We look at if there's going to be, something that just kind of hits us over the head. Because those happen also. What can happen that would just really get our attention or even hurt us? Well, we seem to be more thinking about those things because we don't want to get hurt. So that's also a part of it. And when we pray, we reflect on these things, and that gives us understanding for what we will actually do to be protected. So that's something that we all want to do, and I say let's do it prayerfully. That's a part of the decisions that we make when we consider preparedness and what might we need. And that's something that we all view just a little bit different. But please have a look at that, because that goes through everything. Are you preparing for the earthquake that they say is going to come one day? Oh, and we have had plenty of earthquakes. We have had little ones, and there's a lot of earthquake people who say that the big one is still ready to come, and there are not signs that it's going to be here yet, but an earthquake is a life-changing thing often enough. Sure, maybe it doesn't change your life, but it changes the roads, it changes the commutes, and it does things that disrupt life, at least a little bit, for a bunch of people. So that's another thing we can do, is pray about what's coming and say, Lord, guide us and protect us and keep us safe during the coming days and whatever the natural disasters are or man-made disasters. It's a matter of prayer. It doesn't have to be a great big long prayer. It's a matter of you're walking along, you see something, and you say, oh, Lord, protect us, protect my family, protect the church, our church, protect all these things. And that's what a prayer is also. Not just the great big long thing, it's a few short moments, and you're talking to God and listening to a response. Now, some people actually have a voice that speaks to them. And I know I've had prayers. I don't get the voice, but I get a thought that comes into my head in a way that is distinctly an answer. And so I might ask God to show me something. And the feeling that I get, I verify it to make sure that it's from God, but that is the beginning point of having a sense, a feeling that you're seeking a godly path and God is guiding you along that. So that's the thing. Watch out for the things around you. Be reminded of all the things and be careful you're not just following a path that everybody is going on. Oh, I think of that with this last COVID thing, when everybody would do what was expected. And this is a very powerful social motivation. It just works all the time. People don't want to be unusual. They don't want to stand out. And I think the masks are a good example of it. Everybody had a mask on. And if you didn't, you probably had somebody say something to you. Might have been nice, might have been witty, and it might have been actually mean. But that's a part of the social pressure that we are under, and it's okay if it's a social thing, but it's not okay if it's a matter of following God's will or not. Now, God gives us the laws, the Ten Commandments. He gives us examples in the Bible of what is a godly action and thought, and so we want to be following what God says to do. And so there's that little lesson, I don't know if you remember it, but when lots of people remember when they were a child and their mother would say, well, if everyone jumped off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge too? And knowing that it would be a terrible result. And it's just something that we can ponder as to, are we going to go along with what everybody does, or are we going to be taking that godly position where he tells us the laws, the rules, the commandments, and are we going to say, yes, Lord, or are we going to do what the people around us are doing? It's a big lesson, and sometimes it takes a lot to learn that lesson, and often enough, if we're not following God's will and God's ways, we get a hard lesson. So please consider all those things and pray for your life to be guided by godly principles. That's what we do as we go through life. We have these senses, and we have the knowledge in our head, and we make things line up with God's word. It's lovely to be living that principle. It's lovely to have that relation with God where you can say, I'm being faithful, Lord. So, well, help me. And often enough, God sends a distinct message that is clear that he is helping you. So God bless you in that. And as you seek that path of having that relation with God, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be through all the troubles that there are in life, the regular seasons of the year, in fact, whether it's hot for summer, cold for winter, icy or wet for winter, all those things, we want to make sure that our focus continues to be on God, Jesus Christ. Now, there can be all sorts of things coming up that we don't want to have happen. Well, in the winter, there are floods. In any time of the year, there can be earthquakes and volcanoes, and those are happening. They're happening around the world. Now, they're not happening in your neighborhood, probably, but they do happen. And that's the thing that, well, we can have a little preparedness for that too. Even the things we don't expect. Remember the swarms of locusts that would happen? Yes, in the history. And yes, in the Bible. Swarms of locusts. And they would eat up the crops of food. And that would literally happen. And then the people would not have enough food to last the year. So all sorts of reasons to pray. And that's just one of them for those kind of natural events. You can call them natural disasters. And there are ones going on in the world right now. Look at Canada. Look at the United States. In both locations, there is a failure of the winter wheat crop. The winter wheat is going to be 35 to 40% less than is normal. And wheat is a staple to the foods we eat. We always have wheat in so many things. Yes, I mean flour, but it's wheat flour. And now there is a crop loss of 35% more or less, up to 40%. And that has to do with the wet and freezing weather in Canada and the United States. So these are things that we can just remember. We want God to be a part of his protection, which is certainly something I pray for, his protection and guidance. Yes. So even in Ukraine now, there's that Russia and Ukraine war going on right now. And one third of the world's wheat supply comes from that area, Ukraine-Russia area. So how are we going to make that up for the people that don't have enough bread? It's not like I know. I don't know, but there's a lot of people that are concerned with it. And the United Nations, they estimate that due to the reduced crop yields in wheat, there will be 3 to 5 million people in the world who, well, they say suffer from famine. And do you know what that means? I'm not sure what they call suffering from famine means, but I'm sure there will be lots of deaths. I have heard, well, millions will die, whether it's 2 million or more. It's something that is just a fact of the world that happens when our crops are not what we expect. So that's another point of preparedness that we can have. Yes, for ourselves, and yes, for others. After all, nobody's going to just do everything they need and have everything they need if they do it all for themselves. We need things that other people supply. And so that's what we also get to be mindful about, so that we are concerned with other people. Yes, from a Christian, godly point of view, but we are also looking for that relation where we help them and they help us. And that's something that goes on in many communities, certainly the Christian community, but other ones as well. And that's a reason for us to keep up that relation with our neighbors that is a loving relation, just like Matthew 22:38 describes for us to do. Love God and love your neighbor. I know I said it simpler, but that's the short form of Matthew 22:38. Always read those scriptures yourself. You will get so much more out of it if you read a little before, a little after, and of course, the verse that you're looking at. Well, in the midst of the food crises that many experts say are going to happen, there are people who are raising crickets for food, and they do that in warehouses with the right temperature, a little bit of food, and they raise these crickets for eating. For eating. For the people of the world, let's feed them crickets. Let the school children eat bugs. And this is something that's going on. They actually say contains crickets on some of the food packages. Well, crickets also contain casein. And that is something that humans cannot digest. And it causes intestinal problems, especially if you cannot deal with the casein that is in cricket meal, which is another word for flour if you're in that industry. But it's something that you have to look at, what the ingredients to the food you're buying is, because sometimes they say crickets and sometimes they have another word for it. But it's something, well, I want to be aware of it. Maybe you do too. But I hope you just look into it and see what your position on it is and read the ingredients. I reported on this last year that China has been warehousing much of the world's food supply, like 2/3, 65 to 70% or more of the world's available supply of wheat and rice and corn is being purchased and held in China. I think they're expecting something. It sure looks like that. I mean, I always, whenever I hear the reports about that, I think to myself, well, China's a good country. They would certainly share that food with some hungry people, wouldn't they? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I'm not sure that other countries would either. I'm not really picking on China for that. Are they wise to have a supply of food? Very well, they may be. Because look at what's going on in the world. Strife and trials and war. So if it's a good idea for the governments of the world to have a food supply for their leaders, their elite people, maybe it's a good idea for you and me to have a supply of food for us. Well, I think it is. And if you think it is, then find a way to store that food. Maybe it's with oxygen absorbers in a 5-gallon tub. Maybe it's with diatomaceous earth in a 5-gallon tub. Or there are different ways to store everything. And there are always a little bit of, let's call it eggs, in everything that you would buy for grain. It's these insects. Beetles or whatever it is, they have a few of their eggs in the grains and they live. And that's why you want the oxygen absorbers or the diatomaceous earth or something to either keep them from spreading or keep them from growing. And now that takes a little bit of study, but I just like the simple forms of diatomaceous earth or oxygen absorbers. But this is something which every one of us has to get some idea of what works and what we want and what are we willing to spend to preserve the food. Are we going to put it in a plain old plastic bag or plain old plastic bucket? Are we going to get some specialized Mylar bags? Everything costs. This is not a free and easy thing to do. It takes a little project. And even your wheat grinder is a project. Are you going to get a manual one? Yeah, get a manual one. Are you going to get an electrical one? Yeah, have both of them. But, of course, this is something we all have to examine and determine. What is it? What would I like to do to preserve food in my family or in my neighborhood? Or maybe it's just for you. But remember, we are all part of a community, and so we have people we care about. And that might be family, that might be church family, that might be neighbors. There is always going to be somebody who we can show caring and compassion for. So consider that when you have your supplies, and food is always something you're going to use one way or another. You just have to preserve it. If you don't preserve it, it will get bugs and you'll have to throw it away or eat it with bugs. I guess that goes on more than you think. There are plenty of, let's call them, processors, manufacturers of different food items. And they use the wheat and grind it into flour and just plain put it in their product. It's something that goes on. And you just have to think about what your standards are and what you're willing to spend. It's all a matter of a little trade-off. Are you going to trade your money for the best, or are you going to have something that you can afford? Always questions, but I hope you do look. I hope you look and see what is going to be your choices. What are you going to do? Now, I just said that China has all that wheat and rice and corn and other grains too. How do you think they're going to feed their people? Are they going to vacuum pack every 50-pound bag? I think that there's a lot of people who have standards that are not United States standards. So that's something for all of us to consider, especially for what we want to pay for, what we're willing to pay for. Do think of what's going on in China these days. China has just relaxed its travel restrictions, and it is now allowing the people of China to travel again to the rest of the world. And, Italy. They have been monitoring all flights from China and testing the passengers. And they have found that 50% of the travelers from China arriving in Italy have COVID. So, I mean, this is something that could pop up again. And what if the World Health Organization gets involved and says that we need lockdowns, we need masks, we need whatever it is we need? Are you going to be able to stay in your house for a month or 3 months or whatever it is? That's what they do in China. And you, the United Nations, head of the United Nations, is congratulating China on how they are dealing with COVID. So could it happen here? Of course it could happen here. Is it likely to? It depends. It just plain depends. It could happen, but right now, probably not. But what happens in next year, in 2024? It's a question. So just look at all these things and get some idea of what you want to do, considering the circumstances around you. Now, I do remember that there was a report out of Sky News from Australia. That was about 2 years ago. And they were saying this in a news story, that China's PLA, People's Liberation Army, had a report. Now, this was from about 2014. Was it 15? It was right there. And they had a report that was written in as a book form, small book, but it talked about how China could promote a illness throughout the world, and that would weaken the enemies of China. So this is just another point of discussion, call it an argument, that says that China knew they were releasing the COVID virus and did it on purpose. Well, I don't know that. I just mean it's a position that you can argue. You can say that that's true. And it might be true. But that's something for all of us to consider. What is going to happen next year, or maybe the year after? There's so many people who are talking about another COVID epidemic. or that it would evolve into a new form of virus. I don't know what's going on. All I know is it could go on. So it makes sense to me to have a little preparation for in case it does. And I just mentioned the United Nations and how they were saying, good job, China, for what they did. And does that mean that they're saying good for China for locking citizens into their own apartments? Could that even happen in the United States? Well, yeah, it could. Not in the same way, not in the same form, but it could happen. And that's something we want to protect ourselves against in just the smallest of economic planning. Have some food. Have some grains. Certainly you can have rice, just plain white rice and flavorings. And then you have something to eat and you won't starve like those hundreds of thousands of, well, do you believe the reports? Who reports it? Who actually verifies it? This is a big problem with not just China, but other countries. When you want to verify a report, you can't. There is no independent reporting in China that we would consider worthy. Oh, in other countries too. Like the Russian-Ukraine situation. There are a lot of speculations going on with that. Can we verify information? No, not really. So we have to make things that are sensible. What is sensible to happen? With the reports that we hear, what can you think about that is sensible? So, did China contribute to the creation of the COVID crises? It's possible. And with a little bit of preparation, you can protect yourself from the results and the devastation of what would happen if there was a further COVID crisis or another one or a lockdown or whatever it is. And that has to do with the plain and simple rules of having water, food, and warmth. Well, that's what I always say. Now, you can expand that to anything that you want, but those are just kind of some of the basics. And when you think of China as being doing that intentionally, it's just too hard for us to believe. We don't want to believe that a country could do that intentionally. And that makes me think of the intentionality that is behind some of those Save the Planet people who want to say the people are killing the planet and we have too many people on Earth. So we need to kill some of them. That is the basics and the next step in their logic. Now, that has been said by a number of people. You remember Jacques Cousteau? He said it. And there has been videotape of him speaking about that. Now, we don't get a good we don't get people who show that video or where you can hear it or see it or anything. But it has happened. There are other people who do that too. They've said that. They may not be quite so have such a big argument and a conclusion that we need to kill people. We need to see that the population is lowered. That's what they talk about. So, whatever form that it takes, maybe it's a failure of the crops, maybe it's a plandemic, epidemic, maybe it's a COVID. I don't know, but that makes me think of, this was about 5-6 years ago, when there was, he was the director of intelligence for the Army. That's how I first got this connection. A Major General, Albert Stubblebine III. Now, he's retired, and as I said, the head of Army intelligence. So he looked into a lot of things, and he had a rather interesting wife, Rena Labau, and his wife was a physician working in Europe and having many exclusive patients. She worked with United Nations people and heads of government. But and this is who I'm talking about right now, the physician wife of Albert Stubblebine III, Rina Labau. And she reported having this conversation, and it was broadcast. I mean, I saw the interview, but it's not something you're going to find very often. At any rate, she was talking about having a patient that said it's almost time for the great culling. You know, culling, to separate, to throw out the bad ones. And the patient said it's almost time for the great culling, referring to humanity and what was going to happen. So there are people who think that there's too many people on Earth, and we need to cull them, get rid of the ones that are, oh, you've heard this phrase, useless eaters, who are not contributing to the One World program or to humanity in any way. So we don't need them, is the attitude that some of those globalists have. And that just brings me to another thought about, there was a guy who deals with cults and witches and Satanists and such as that. His name was Russ Dizdar, and he did write a book. But the thing I thought was so interesting was during an interview, he said there was 5 to 6 million people that were programmed to kill, to destroy, to disrupt the people of the world. And they were right here in the United States, at least 5 million. That's what his estimate was. And he dealt with people, again, Satanists and cults and witches and people that wanted to see the United States reduced. Anyway, his book. He said that in an interview, not so much in his book. His book is called Black Awakening, The Rise of Satanic Super Soldiers, just waiting for an order, and they would do their destruction. Well, anyway, there's lots of books that describe similar things. Oh, I used to have so many books, but not anymore. Ever since that mysterious fire 2 years ago, at, 3, 4 a.m., I was awakened, and I just made it out of my little mobile thing with minutes to spare. And I lost all the books. I lost, basically everything. And that was not a fun experience. So I just barely got out of that one alive, but I got out. Anyway, my point was that I have read many of these books. I've seen a lot of the books. I've heard the interviews, and it's something that you can find out too, but not a lot of people want to put the effort into searching these things out. And I don't blame you, because it's just not the easiest thing. It's not the funnest thing. But I mean to tell you, this is what I have seen and or heard, or both, because when you're exposed to the people who are following Christ, they all have a story. And Russ Dizdar has a story. Other people have stories too. I know I've said in the past about a Satanist who had a story, and he became a born-again, sold-out follower of Jesus Christ. And I remember hearing that as a young Christian and thinking, wow, born-again, sold-out? I mean, really? He was willing to sacrifice his life? Oh, that's the other part of that story. He was in an elite Illuminati family that was a Satan-worshipping family. And so in a part of his testimony, he talked about what happened to people who turned away from Satan. They were sacrificed, ritually sacrificed. And you know that the way he described what he was doing, that he expected that that was going to happen to him. Because he had turned from a follower of Satan to a follower of Jesus Christ. And like I said, born again, sold out, follower of Jesus Christ. And it struck me as at the time, because I was a rather young Christian, and now I understand it. And I say, yeah, hooray, I understand, I agree. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're not there yet. But it's something that as we go through life, we see more and more, and there are experiences that we have, there are testimonies that we hear, and they cause us to strengthen our faith and resolve. And that's what one of the things that happened to me when I heard this guy's testimony. Of course, not just that, but it continued. And things just fit together in a way that was only God could have put it together, and that's why I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. Well, there are people who have really evil plans for the world. And so to say that China's PLA, China's Liberation Army, that they are having these plans also. They're evident from the testimonies that you hear. And, of course, you have to listen. You have to be aware and even look for them. But that's okay. China is quite a place. There are, for years, it has been where the many people in the media have said that China is going to overshadow every other government in the world, and they are going to dominate the world. Well, it's very interesting to see their shortages right now and what they are going through. Why, I just heard a report and said that Chinese, because of the COVID crises in China, many of the Chinese peoples have bought one thing and another to help them get over their COVID. And that includes the fever medicines, you know, the regular ones we have. And so the government was restricting everyone that they could only buy 6 fever pills a month. And the thing is everybody has identification in China, and you have to present your identification to buy anything, including fever pills, you know, like Tylenol, Advil, aspirin. So anyway, that is what their system has to deal with, because they are more or less a dictatorship. Xi Jinping is more or less the dictator of China. Sure, he's called a president, but he doesn't have the form of president that we have in the United States. There are no 3 tiers of government in China like there are in the United States. So all these things are going on. All these things. And you know what? There are just hundreds of thousands of Chinese, the rich Chinese, who want to move to another country now. They feel restrictions. They don't like what's going on. They see the lockdowns. They don't want to be a part of it. And so there are many hundreds of thousands of Chinese citizens that are trying to move to other countries, like Singapore, like China, like Canada. That's a big destination. And like Mexico, and of course, the United States is where the wonderful place to move to is, but it's kind of limited. Not so many places are available for that to happen. So people all around the world appreciate freedom, and that's something that the United States is very good at, and China is very bad at. And China. Also, Russia, I think they're more free than China. But when you have a totalitarian government and a leader like Xi Jinping, You have limitations on everything. Like I just said, there were 6 fever pills a month. Well, that's not so good. I like our free economic system of capitalism in the United States. Oh, I'm so glad for that. But the Chinese people are desperate to leave China. The rich ones see what's going on. They see the people who are, well, actually it's dead bodies waiting to get into the mausoleum, crematoriums, and there are bodies just waiting to be cremated. That's what the reports are. You listen to the reports. That's all I can say, is these things are going on. There are long lines for all sorts of things in China, like to get into the hospital where they can be treated for their COVID. In the hospital rooms, there are video of people just lying on the floor because they need to get in the hospital, but there's no beds, so they are on a sleeping mat on the floor. I mean, that is going on. People don't want to live in China because they want their freedom, but they can't get out. And there's reports out of South America. I was listening to the news, and they were talking about what it would cost to come to the United States, even illegally, from South America. And there was a person who said, yeah, we do that. We pay that. $5,000 to be brought across the southern border into the United States. $5,000 to get into the United States, and they smuggle you in. But I want you to know that this is not like a contract that you sign. This is like doing something with the mafia, doing something illegal. And you pay the $5,000, so they say, okay, we'll take you. They might take you halfway and say, oh, we need another $3,000 to take you the rest of the way. Or at the border, maybe the border of the United States, they say, oh, no, we need $3,000 more to get you actually in. I mean, that's just a typical kind of cartel behavior. And that's what you're dealing with when you deal with the lawless element of people. There are no legal contracts for doing this or for that. And so that's one of the things that many people are having to contend with, and that includes the Chinese people who are waiting in South America that want to get to another country to relocate. And they don't like China anymore. Wonder why. We know why. But there's things that are great big concerns over in China. And we're just thankful that we have problems, but not like that. So thank you for being in the United States of America. Lord, you made us born here. And thank you for that. Thank you, in fact, for letting us be born and not having problems with this or this with that. All right, one more little thing about COVID and China. There are no official numbers that come out of Chinese agencies or Chinese officials. You have to find somebody who tells you that they are close to an understanding of this person or that. And this is why they know it. So again, it's not a free and open society. It's not a free and open press. So it's hard to verify any of the numbers. But there were 2 estimates that were 250 million Chinese have been infected with COVID. Well, another estimate said 248 million Chinese had been infected with COVID. And now with the travel restrictions easing in China, China is letting people travel to other countries. And I told you about Italy saying that 50% of the travelers arriving from China into Italy had COVID. And so they had to undergo treatment and isolation. Well, this is just a part of the things that we may very well see coming. If we're going to see COVID increase again, whether it's a new strain or a new epidemic, we could see anything happen. And we could have lockdowns in this country when we consider the people who have said, good job, China, we like that you're locking down the people and keeping COVID from spreading. As I said, the director of the UN said that. So there are things going on that could happen here. And the best thing for us to remember is, how can we avoid it? Oh, yeah, pray. Ask God for help, for discernment. And then you know that there's things you can do. And that includes being prepared for a time of trouble. How do you get through a time of trouble? Well, if China is any part of that, or other countries, we know that we all need to eat. We know that we need water. We need to stay warm in the as things cool off, winter temperatures. So water, food, and warmth is what I repeat over and over. So you can do some of that. It doesn't mean you have to do it the way you want to have really the best expensive food that there is. Sure, I'd like that too. But I just stockpile wheat. Yeah, I put it aside. If I can do a plastic pail of it, I do that. Wheat is the big one for me because I like bread. But that means you need a wheat grinder. So you can get an electric wheat grinder or a manual wheat grinder. And if you're talking about the troubles coming up, well, yeah, you're going to want a manual wheat grinder in case the electricity goes out, like it did for so many people in China. Oh, and not to mention Ukraine. But if you are in a place with trouble, that's what you need to do. And there are troubles going on in the world. I know one of the things I look at is what's going on in the Middle East. What's going on with the Euphrates River? I mean, that's in the Bible. Revelation 16:12 talks about when the armies of the East cross the Euphrates River on dry land. And now the Euphrates River has no water. Now, in 2020, it was all full of water, but the water has all dried up. And the kings of the East, that's what it says, cross the Euphrates River on dry land. That can happen today. Today. It can happen. So, will it? I don't know. It's just an indicator to me that we better start looking at what does it make sense to do. You know what makes sense to be done. I have an idea. You have an idea. So do something. Do it. Do it. Make it happen in your life. If it's storing food, then do it. It's not an easy thing, but everybody can get a few pounds of rice. 10 pounds of rice? 50 pounds of rice? Yeah, okay, spend $10. Spend $10, $20, $30, $40, $50. And have some of the things. Maybe a plastic pail to put the rice in. Maybe oxygen absorbers. Maybe diatomaceous earth. There's always something that you can do. Everybody thinks in terms of cans. I'm going to get some cans of food. Good. Get cans of food. I think one of the best things I like cans of food for is that they add a flavor. So let's just say you have a pot of rice. Now, I've eaten rice plain. It's pretty simple. And if you ever eat plain white rice, you really get to appreciate things like salt and pepper just to add it to the rice. But if you had something like chicken soup or some other, there's lots of condensed soups that you could add to rice to make it good. You can add canned vegetables to rice. to make it much more appealing. And these are things that you can do in case we have another time of trouble. And I just talked about Revelation. There's two things in Revelation there that kind of get my attention with the kings of the east, Christ crossing the Euphrates River on dry land. Okay, that's one. And then there are the things in Revelation 18 where Mystery Babylon is judged in 1 hour. In 1 hour, with the smoke rising up from her torment. How could that be? Well, I just try to figure it out. It's not that I know the answers. God didn't give me a special message, unless this is it. He didn't speak into my dreams or give me a vision about it, but I've listened to people who have had the dreams, who have had the visions. And to have this repeat among different people gives me a concern that we could just be very close to that time of the end, where Mystery Babylon, that I consider to be the United States, is judged and destroyed in 1 hour. So there's just lots of reasons that I see for why it is a very good idea to get your provisions so that you can live a little while longer and be able to preach the good news of the gospel if all of a sudden we come through what do you want to call it? A really hard time? Sure, call it a really hard time. But it's something that we all could have happen. And in fact, there are prophetic people that have talked about it coming as Russia and China move into against the United States. And I think of the people who have said what could happen if our electrical grid went down, that 65% to 90% of our population could actually end up dying. Now, I know when you listen to the prepper people, they say 90%, but the number in the report is 60 to 90%. So it's all reasons to motivate you to get prepared for the surprises that are coming our way. Well, might be coming our way. I don't know that they are. I just know that they could be. And because they could be, it just makes so much sense to have your preparations in line in case they do happen. And there are people of every sort that are warning us to get prepared. So have that as a consideration when you were thinking about what to do and when to do it. Get it done. Get it done now and see what your basic needs are and do something. Now, you can listen to this or any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org and look for where it says John Stephenson. There's a couple of Christ Todays, but you want the one with my name on it. You can write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I'm always glad to have prayer requests. I have had so much healing in my life from people praying. And maybe that's a discussion for another day, but I want you to know that if you have a prayer request, I will add it to my prayer list. So, God bless you, and thank you for listening today.